I told my wife when we got home this afternoon, I said, boy, the music this morning was a blessing, wasn't it? It really was, and appreciate that tonight. And Brother Scott, he married up, didn't he? It's pretty awesome. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Again, appreciate your prayers for me and my wife and the kids as we went deer hunting with my... That's actually my son's truck, too, so anyway, it's now in Bowie at the Chevy dealership. I'm going to get worked on, and we hit a four-point buck on the way back from Oklahoma Friday night. And to be out, we tagged him, put him on the back, strapped him across the front hood. I thought maybe the sheriff wouldn't like that. We finally did see a sheriff after about 4 hours, but anyway, appreciate it. We were thinking this afternoon, what if we had been in her go-kart? Really, if we'd have been in the Toyota, it could have been bad. So, thankful I was in the Chevy truck. Well, if we were to come to a pinnacle of a teaching on the book of Philippians, I think Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 may be, to me, the pinnacle. But here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 through 16, we're going to cover these verses tonight and make some ground. But we understand and know that the theme of the book of Philippians is joy that's produced by being selfless. Selflessness that produces joy, right? And then the first chapter, having to deal with Christ being our life. Christ our life. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The second chapter having to do with the mind of Christ, or Christ our mind. And then again, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then the third chapter, the theme is Christ our goal. Christ our goal. We see this in verse 12 and 13 and 14. Look there with me, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, one thing, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 14 ought to be underlined in your Bible. That is the central focus of chapter 3. And really a lot to do with the entire book. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, complete, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your love. Pray that you would bless the reading of your word. Lord, help us to make Christ the central focus and aim of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll move right along. We think about here that Paul, who the apostle, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a man who is now in prison in Rome. Never one time does he complain about being in prison. He never talks about himself and the predicament he's in. But he's always talking about others, always putting others in front of himself. Not only that, but if we think about this, he says, not as though I had already attained. In other words, as he's talking about having Christ being the ultimate goal, of having this mind of Christ, of being selfless, of being like Jesus Christ, which is our ultimate goal. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's the goal. He said, I have not attained this. Not as though I'd already attained. I think if we are to mature in our Christian life, we must be honest about our own self. We say the same thing when we come to a revival meeting, didn't we, with Brother McCracken, remember? I think if you're going to have revival, you must first see yourself for who you are. Here is Paul, who is an apostle who wrote over half the New Testament, and yet he says, I have not already attained. He mentions this again here in a second. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, verse 13. He challenges them, but he humbly admits that he has not attained. Right? And if he has not attained, we certainly have not attained. We have certainly not reached the goal. Remember, 1 Peter says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And if we are to achieve the goal of being like Christ, of achieving that goal, we must be humble. contrite, broken. We covered this during the revival meeting. We must admit that we are not okay. We must admit spiritually that we're not okay, that we're not fine, that we need help, and that God is still working on us, that God was still working on Paul, so therefore he's still working on us. And no matter whether you're the pastor or the deacon or you're a Sunday school teacher or a master club worker or whatever area you may be involved in, or whether you think or you don't think that yourself has spiritually come in any type of direction or whatever spiritually you may have achieved, can I just tell you, you have not attained. I have not attained. Paul has not attained. Not as though I'd have already attained, either we're already made perfect. That word perfect means complete or mature. And again, he admits that we have not arrived. We must admit that we've not arrived. There's still some root of bitterness in our heart. There's still gossip we deal with. There's still apathy we deal with. And on and on and on. There's still non-Bible reading that we deal with. And on a daily basis, we're bombarded with our own lack of spirituality. We must, again, see that the Lord is still working on us. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my mama, but it's me, O Lord. Sometimes we like to look at our next door neighbor, or we like to look at our spouse and say, hey, yeah, Lord, get a hold of them. But it's us. It's me. I'm the one that needs to continue to go forward in my Christian life. Man, I have made this one of my, and you've heard me say it many times, that I want to be a genuine Christian. I want to be genuine. I don't want to get to the place in my life where I feel like I've arrived. And I don't want to ever get there. I don't think that I've ever felt that way. In fact, to me, the more I read my Bible, the deeper it becomes, and the more I think I know less. I'm like, God, can I ever get to the end of it? It's amazing. We are attaining. We are pressing forward. We are, again, we must admit that, hey, we haven't arrived. But understanding we have not arrived, but we are attaining. But I follow after, that if I may apprehend that which I've apprehended of Christ Jesus. Listen, we are apprehending. We're going forward. His quest, Paul's quest, was to press toward the mark. His quest in life. You understand Paul's illustrating here a race. In the Christian life, we're in a race. That we are pressing forward, that we're following after. I'm going to read that again. If that I may apprehend, for that which I've also apprehended of Jesus Christ. We are following after Christ. He was determined to be like Christ. He was pressing toward that mark to be like Him. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, complete, again, mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, we're working in the ministry, perfecting the saints until when? Until all be made perfect, complete, mature. I want to look at the verse one more time, verse 12. But I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Can I tell you, we've been apprehended? Aren't you thankful that God reached down and apprehended you? If you could think of it maybe as God reaching down, putting His hand on your shoulder and apprehending you, grabbing you. I'm glad that God's not just up there and just aloft staring down at us, but that He cares for us individually. That He's the one that met Saul on the Damascus Road. Sun as bright as the noonday sun, and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Remember, Paul said, I'm the one that's been apprehended. Love that song. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He came to me. He came to me. I've been apprehended. And therefore, I've been apprehended. I must apprehend. I must apprehend. So there's a partnership here in that Christ came and gave His life and died for me, and when I accepted Him as my Savior, He saved my soul. He apprehended me. But now, in this Christian life, I'm apprehending Him. I am walking worthy. I am following after. I am striving to be like Him. I am on this journey, if you would. I am in this race. I'm pressing toward the mark. Right? Justification, salvation is instantaneous, but we understand and know that sanctification is a process. To be like Christ is a process. I've been apprehended. That took only a second. But me apprehending Him is a lifetime. Is a lifetime. And the point we're making here is Paul's recognizing that he had not, that he has not attained, that he has not arrived. And we must, with our own selves, comprehend and understand that we have not arrived. Paul was not satisfied with where he was at in his Christian life, and we should not get to the place where we're satisfied with where we're at. That, as I said this morning, we should not be apathetic, that we must be careful about apathy setting in and just going along for the ride. But we as Christians need to be attaining. We need to be striving. We need to be pressing toward the mark. Determined. This partnership with the Lord and wanting and determining to be like Christ. He says there in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Again, as we look at moving forward, as we look at running in this race, as we have began the race at salvation and we continue in this race, we need to be careful about looking behind. Sometimes the old devil, he likes to discourage us. He'll get us to look at our past failures in order to defeat us in the future. He'll say things in your ear like, "Well, you tried to quit that sin before and you failed." Well, it doesn't mean anything. You forget those things which are behind and you go forward, pressing toward the mark. Right? And that's what Paul's speaking of here. You just keep going forward. By the way, it's not just talking about past failures. It could also be talking about past victories. And though we should look back and review history in order to keep from making the same mistakes, but those past failures shouldn't affect our future victories. We should not allow that to happen. When a runner is running in a race, he is told by his coach to be careful and not look back. As you look back, you could fall, you lose time, right? I was not a very good long distance runner, but I was a decent short distance runner. I really didn't even like the 100 yard dash. I would much rather run the 40 yard dash. And really, if it was 20 yards, I'd even be happier. I was really good. I could beat just about anybody in the 20. We got a little past there. Anyway, but especially those short distance races, there is no way you're looking back. And those long-distance races, and my brother is a tremendous long-distance runner. Even at 40-something, he still amazes me how God made my brother and my sister were both long-distance runners. They were both skinny beanpoles, too. And, you know, it's amazing, though, in those long-distance run, and they get to that close to that finish line, they're pressing toward the mark, and they're so tired. Just that one little look back could literally make them fall and be out of the race. We must press toward the mark. Runners, again, we shouldn't look back. We should press forward. Don't allow the devil to take past skeletons in your life and use them as a way to defeat you in future victories. Don't do it. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future, right? You take the time and you review, and Lord's forgive me of those things. And you move forward. You move forward, whatever that may be. Brethren, I count not myself to have rested, but this one thing I do. We could really spend most of the sermon on this one point. This one thing I do. I press toward the mark. What is the mark? The mark is to be like Christ. The prize is when we get there. And that's when we get to heaven. The mark is to be like Christ. So my goal, the finish line in the race of the Christian life, is to be like Christ. That's the mark. This one thing I do, it says, Paul said, this one thing I do. It's not, did Paul put himself in a monastery and hum all day and read Bible all day and is that what he's saying? In order to achieve this one thing, I've got to put myself in a close-knit group and just study my Bible all day and you know, ostracize myself in the world, as some have done. Is that what he's saying? He didn't practice that. So that can't be what he's saying. What he's saying is this one thing, one aim we have as Christians is to be like Christ. This one goal is to be like Christ. My one thought in life is to be like Christ. This is a tough one because we preach this a lot. And so you've heard this message like 35 times and it's hot in here. But we've come through Philippians so far. I don't want you to miss this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The mark is Christ, to be like Him. I've heard that since I was a kid. I've heard it all my life. To be like Him is to, in order to be like Him, I must study Him. We're doing that on Wednesday nights. We'll pick that back up, Lord willing, this Wednesday. To be like Him, to imitate Christ. That's what a Christian means, what Christ-like means. It means that when I go to work, that I am to follow Christ at work. It means I am to be an ambassador of Christ at my job. It means I'm to conduct business as Christ would conduct business. It means I'm to be honest in my workings and my dealings with in my job and in my business. It means I don't take things from my employer. It means I don't cuss at work. It means it just simply means that I act as if Christ if Christ was sitting right beside me. I do what Christ would do. He's the mark. This one thing I do. Now, I'm still doing my job. I'm still typing on the computer or moving a hay bale or whatever it is. But as I'm doing the work to provide for my family, I still have Christ in mind in everything that I do. If I'm going to school, I'm at school, I'm living for Christ. I'm living as Christ would live. I'm not telling dirty jokes, you know. I'm not hanging out with those guys that do or those girls that do. I'm not gossiping. I'm not tearing down others. I'm not in the crowd that's bullying people or whatever it may be. I'm living as Christ would live. This one thing I do. It's not that I lay everything aside. It's that in what I am doing, I keep Christ in the forefront. That He is preeminent in my life. That He is dominant. That He is the central focus, the mark in my life. In whatever I'm doing. Whether at work or at school and in my family. In my family, I'm being an example to my children of what Christ would do. I'm treating my kids as Christ would treat them. Whether it's in discipline or whether it's in love or whether it's in time spent, I'm treating my spouse as Christ would treat my spouse. I'm loving my Christ as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Amen? In my family, my mark is still Christ. Even though I'm dealing with my family and raising children and trying to be a good husband, I'm doing so by being a good Christian. I'm a good employee because I'm a good Christian. I'm trying to be a good pastor in that if I'm going to be the best pastor I can be, it's because I'm trying to be most Christ-like I can be. Amen. You want to be the best mom you can be? Be the best Christian you can be. The mark is Christ. The mark is Christ. Everything in my life, the mark is Jesus Christ. Paul said, this one thing I do, not dabbling in 40 things. So you don't have to please your boss, you have to please Christ. And in doing so, 90% of the time or more, you're going to please your boss. I do not have to please all you guys. All you guys. Brother Jerry Forte is not here. So. I just have to please Him. This one thing I do. Being careful about forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth. Again, we could spend the rest of the evening just on this one point to be more like Christ. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. I am going to turn over there. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. Most of you know these verses. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews, again, Paul is referring to the Christian life as a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I press toward the mark, Paul said. Verse 14. of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, the focus is Christ. I press toward the mark. Christ. Christ is our pattern for life. Our pattern for life. Christ, our goal is to be more like Jesus Christ. Have I said that yet? Christ is our prize. Amen. To be like Him, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Ephesians, all speaks about us walking in love and walking worthy of Jesus Christ. Our goal to glorify Him, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, whatever we're doing, whether eating or drinking, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, to the glory of Him. My goal in life is to glorify Him and enjoy His fellowship. Again, verse 14 ought to be underlined in your Bible. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Going forward for the mark. Following after. All these Greek words, there's two or three of them in here that all mean the same thing. They basically all saying the same thing. As we press toward the mark, we're following after Him. He is the goal. And that word press there is talking about more than just... it speaks of when a runner is, of course, running, but when he stretches forth his chest and he's got his arms in front of him and he's right there at the finish line trying to get across it with everything he has. You ever been there? I have. A couple of times. Not very much. Not in first place anyway. Just giving it everything you have. Paul suffered the loss of all things. Wealth, family, health, everything, that he might win Christ. I wonder today if we were to go to Paul, if we could talk to him today and say, Paul, was it worth it? Was it worth it? I wonder what Paul would say. He would say yes. Love that old song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." Telling you, folks, we need to understand and remember that we have not attained, that we have not arrived, that God is still working on us, shaping us and molding us into His image. By the way, if He's the shaper and the molder, and we're the clay, when we go through trials, when we go through testings, when we go through good times, it sure would help to remember that He's the one in charge. And that He is, Romans chapter 8, 28 and 29 speaks of Him working together for our good. It sure helps us when we're in the hospital knowing that God is the one in doing the working. Sure helps us when we receive that extra finances to know that God's the one doing the working. Sure nice when you hit a deer and you didn't all die and get killed. Sure knows that God's doing the working. Amen. Amen. Whether in the good times or the bad times, God is conforming us into the image of His Son because that is the goal. The goal is not my feelings. It's not my feelings. The goal is to be like Christ. The goal is not my emotional happiness. The goal is to be like Christ. And by the way, as I am molded in the image of Christ, understanding that, those other things will follow too. Man, to follow Him. To reach toward the prize, to walk towards the prize. Let us therefore, verse 15, let us therefore, in light of this, in light of pressing toward the mark, as many as be perfect, as many as be complete. And what he's saying here, basically saying, hey, you adults out there, you mature people, because we know the mark is Christ, because we're pressing towards that mark, you mature adults, let us thus be minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. He's basically saying, hey, you know what? If you don't get it, God will reveal it to you. And He will, doesn't He? I am telling you throughout your Christian life, one way or another, it's going to be revealed to you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that your goal is to be like Christ. He'll just keep slapping you around until you get it right. We need to follow Him. We're supposed to be following after Christ. If anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. As we think about following Christ, as we think about God revealing? How does God reveal these things unto you? How would God reveal to you, besides trials and things, but how would God reveal it unto you if you're not of the same mind as what Paul's speaking here? Pretty easy, isn't it? Through here. This is the guide. This is the roadmap. For us who are adults, now I'm not talking about adults in age, I'm talking about mature Christians, right? Not complete Christians, not perfect Christians. The English word there is talking about being mature. As we mature as Christians, we will be thus minded. And the way we get correction and get thus minded is through the Scripture. This is our roadmap. Our goal is the same. Our course may be different. In other words, God is leading me to be like Christ, and He has to do that in a different way than He leads my wife. Everybody with me? Because my wife is not like me. She has a different personality than I do. Amen. A different temperament than I do. My wife's different emotionally than I am. Right? So God works on her differently than He works on me. But we all have the same goal, and we are all thus minded. And if we be otherwise minded, He said, God will reveal it unto you. As we read the Scripture, as we pray, as we attend church, we all face different difficulties. We all face different circumstances, but God has the same goal in mind. As a church, we need to follow the Word of God. As a church, God is perfecting us, completing us, working on us. Together, we grow together in Christ. It's one of our purposes. And He is molding and shaping us together as a group. But we need to have the same mind, be of the same mind. What mind is that? To be conformed to the image of His Son. If everyone in here was Christ-like, there would never be any schisms or murmurings or complainings. That's just it. I'm not saying you would never say anything negative. I'm saying there would never be any schisms. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If our relationship with God is right, if it's where it should be, then our relationship with our fellow man will be right. This works in marriage, it works in every relationship. If we as Christians together, as a unit, as a group, as a church family, understand and keep in mind that our goal is to be like Christ, it lines us up together. We're an army for God. And it'll sure keep us from fighting each other. We're not concerned about the carpet and what color it might be. We're concerned about souls. Because that's what Christ is concerned about. You know, the carpet's a little too light in here. I totally admit it now. It should have been darker. All right, so in a few years we'll replace it with darker color. I'm talking about out there where you guys are at. But whether the color of the carpet is one way or another, we should be like Christ. We should be like Christ. Line up together. Be thus minded. The Word of God is that which lines us up. We should follow the Word of God. John chapter 16 speaks about Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. That truth found in the Word of God. If we are to find the way that God wants us to go, we find it in His Word by reading our Bible and praying every day. Nevertheless, verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Again, along the same lines as that the Word of God is our complete guide. That we mind the same things, that we walk the same way, understanding that the rules are all the same for us, because this is the measuring tape. The standards are all the same, because this is the standard. The measuring tape's all the same. Christ is the standard, the living Word. The rules are all the same, because Christ is the rule. As we think about, D.L. Moody said this. D.L. Moody said, a Bible falling apart is usually owned by a person who isn't. If the Bible's our guide, then we need to read it. If we are to be like Christ, then we've got to read the Bible to learn about Him. Amen. To study Him. If we are to stay on track, if we are to mind the same things, we must be in the Word of God. by way of Sunday school, by way of church, by way of master clubs, by way of the youth department, by way of our daily Bible reading, if we're to mind the same things and stay on track, the Word of God must be our guide. We preached that many times, haven't we? It always comes back to that, doesn't it? If I'm to be Christ-like, the Word of God is going to get me there. Ambassador of Jesus Christ. But the race begins with honesty that I have not attained. If we're to press toward the mark, we must understand that we have not attained, or else we won't get up and run. I'm not at the finish line yet. He's still working on me. I'm still pressing towards the mark. I'm still pressing. If Paul hadn't reached the mark, then we haven't reached the mark. And then the mark is Jesus. Stay focused. And whether at the job or at school or at play or with your neighbor or with your spouse or with your family, remember, Christ is the mark. This one thing I do, Paul said, to be more like Jesus every day. Follow the roadmap. The Word of God will lead you and guide you every day. I press toward the mark. Are you pressing toward the mark? If you were to look back in your life, in your Christian life, and you were to say, am I closer to the mark today than I was a year ago or 2 years ago? Listen, are you closer today than you were a year ago? Have you launched out this year? Have you grown this year? Is there evidence in your life that you have grown? Are you pressing toward the mark? Paul said that's the one thing he does. Everything else is peripheral. We don't get out in the monastery and camp out somewhere, but it's peripheral. Those things. My one mark is Jesus. Let's all stand. Walk by the same rule. Mind the same things. All of us lining up together as a church family for the Lord. Let's pray.